Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Friday, November 8th, and coming up in today's episode, Supreme Court's majority verdict on Aligarh Muslim University's minority status case, UP Women Commission's bizarre proposal to limit women's interaction with men to ensure women's safety, D.Y. Chandrachud's message and nostalgic reveries on his last day as Chief Justice of India, and Canada's decision to ban S. Jaishankar interview by a media house raises concerns about press freedom. First up, Aligarh Muslim University's minority status is in a Schrodinger's cat-in-a-box situation. A 7-judge constitution bench of the Supreme Court ruled 4-3 today to overturn a key 1967 judgment on the Aligarh Muslim University. This judgment had removed minority status. However, the top court did not confirm if it is to be a minority status university in the future. A regular 3-judge bench will be constituted in the future, and that shall decide if the institution should be granted this again. On his last working day as the Chief Justice of India, today's constitution bench was led by CJI D.Y. Chandrachud. He also authored the judgment in which the court struck down an earlier ruling that said an institution incorporated by a statute could not claim minority status, but left the question as it pertains to AMU to a regular bench. 4 judges, including the CJI, favoured this judgment, including the incoming CJI, who is currently Justice Sanjeev Khanna. However, 3 judges dissented. These were Justices Suryakant, Dipankar Datta and S.C. Sharma. The bench had earlier reserved its verdict on February 1st of this year. Reading for the majority, the Chief Justice underlined the importance of identifying the university's actual point of origin, its genesis, to establish its minority status. Because AMU has been incorporated by imperial legislation, it was founded in 1875 as the Mohammedan Anglo-Oriental College and converted to a university by the British Raj in 1920, does not mean it was not established by members of a minority community, the court said. A key point is that the court said it is not necessary for an institution to be established only for the benefit of a minority community or for its administration to rest with members of that community. Minority institutions may also wish to emphasize secular education, it noted. The test, the majority ruled, is to see if the administrative structure is in line with the claimed minority character of the institution, in this case, the AMU. Among the dissenting judges, Justice Datta ruled that AMU is not a minority institution, while Justice Sharma noted a minority community should control institutions serving its people but with no interference. They must, however, also give the students option of a secular education, he said. And next, in a strange attempt to ensure women's safety, the UP government has proposed a stranger mechanism to stop women's interaction with men outside the home in commercial situations to a large extent. These attempts by the Uttar Pradesh State Women Commission include barring male tailors, beauticians, and gym or yoga trainers from working with women customers. A male hairstylist should be barred from cutting a woman's hair in an attempt to prevent bad touch, the proposal says. The radical raft of suggestions, which includes men not being allowed to take women's measurements and installing CCTV cameras, followed a meeting held on October 28th. Quote, on October 28th, at the meeting of the Women Commission, a proposal was floated that only female tailors should take the measurement and stitch clothes worn by women and that CCTV should be installed in these areas, unquote. Himani Agarwal, a member of the women's body, told PTI today. She said the proposal was floated by the State Women Commission chairperson, Babita Chauhan, and it was supported by the members who were present at the meeting. She went ahead to add the other suggestions made by the proposal. We have also said that in salons it should be only female barbers who should attend to the female customers. We are of the view that because of men involved in these type of profession, women are molested. They try to indulge in bad touch, they being men. The intention of some men is also not good. But shortly after that, she added, not all the men have bad intentions. Mr. Agarwal said this is just a proposal as of now and the Women's Commission will subsequently request the state to make laws in this regard. But the feasibility of this proposal to be made into a ground reality is a bit shaky, as there are many professions where men are employed as darzi, as hair salon There are many male wedding makeup artists, there are many male tailors catering to special situations. The Uttar Pradesh state also has a film industry. It remains to be seen if in those industries, male makeup artists and stylists should be barred from participating with women actors and stars. The proposal will need a lot more clarity on what it seeks to achieve. Next, the outgoing Chief Justice of India and probably one of the most popular judges of our contemporary times, CJI D.Y. Chandrachur, spent his last day at work pronouncing important judgments and also reminiscing on his time in the court. D.Y. Chandrachur delivered a message from the ceremonial bench and acknowledged the reality that he would no longer serve as the country's top judge. An emotional Chandrachur said, "I won't be able to deliver justice from tomorrow, but I am content." Chief Justice Chandrachur, who assumed office on November 9, 2022, bid farewell to his position today after his two-year term ended. Recalling a light-hearted moment with his Registrar Judicial the previous evening, he shared, and I quote, "When my Registrar Judicial asked me what time the ceremonial should begin, I said 2 p.m., thinking it would allow us to wrap up a lot of pending items. But I wondered to myself, will anyone actually be here at 2 p.m. on Friday afternoon, or will I just be left looking at myself on the screen?" Unquote. Reflecting on his career, he described the role of judges as akin to pilgrims, coming to court each day with a commitment to serve. Quote, "The work we do can make or break cases." He paid a tribute to the great judges who have adorned this court and passed on the baton, adding that he felt reassured leaving the bench in the capable hands of Justice Sanjeev Khanna, whom he praised as an able leader. Quote, "If I have ever hurt someone in the court, please forgive me for that." He also quoted the Jan phrase, "Michami Dukadam," which translates to, "May all my misdeeds be forgiven." Lawyers and members of the bar gathered to honour the outgoing Chief Justice, describing him as a rock star of judiciary. Justice Sanjeev Khanna, who has been nominated as his successor, will be sworn in as the 51st Chief Justice of India on November 11th. He said, quote, "I never had the chance to appear in Justice Chandrachur's court, but what he has done for the marginalized and the needy is beyond compare," unquote. He added a personal anecdote about Chief Justice's fondness for samosas, remarking that they were served in nearly every meeting, though the Chief Justice himself refrained from eating them. Justice Chandrachur's tenure saw many changes within the court, from the establishment of Mitti Cafe, a facility empowering individuals with disabilities, to a dedicated bar room for women lawyers, alongside other beautification projects for the Supreme Court premises. In his two-year term, Justice Chandrachur authored a series of landmark judgments. Notably, he presided over the Constitution Bench upholding the revocation of Article 370, which redefined the politics of Jammu and Kashmir, ordering that elections be conducted by September 2024 and stressing the need to restore statehood as soon as possible. Canada's decision to block Foreign Minister S. Jaishankar's interview with an Australian media outlet in their country may backfire on the country, raising questions on freedom of speech and freedom of press. Earlier this week, our Foreign Minister was on an Australia tour, during which he met Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and co-chaired the 15th Foreign Minister's Framework Dialogue with Australian Senator Penny Wong. Mr. Jaishankar also sat down for an interview with an Australian media house called Australia Today. Soon after, Canada blocked the outlet's social media pages as it held a press conference with Mr. Jaishankar and Ms. Wong. The move came amid diplomatic tensions between New Delhi and Ottawa and sparked strong response from India, who called out their hypocrisy towards freedom of speech. Responding to the ban, the Australia Today's managing editor Jithard Jai Bhardwaj said, "The move has made it difficult for the team, but they are undeterred by such obstacles." Quote, "The recent restriction and ban on our interview with Indian External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar and the press conference with Australian Foreign Minister Senator Wong on our social media, under orders from the Canadian government, have been difficult for our team and those who value free and open journalism," he said in a statement posted on social media. The Australia Today vowed to continue advocating for an open and inclusive media landscape as it thanked the fraternity for being a beacon of strength amid restrictions. Quote, "We remain steadfast in our mission to bring important stories and voices to the public, undeterred by these obstacles," unquote, said the managing editor. While the ban definitely raises a question mark on press freedom in Canada, It is also a great signifier of Canada's antagonism towards diplomatic ties with India. On being asked about the matter yesterday, Ministry of External Affairs spokesperson Randhir Jaiswal said, the social media handles and pages of the diaspora outlet have been blocked and are not available for the viewers in Canada. Quote, we were surprised, it looked strange to us, but nonetheless, these are actions that yet again highlight the hypocrisy of Canada towards freedom of speech. In his media interactions, the External Affairs Minister spoke about three things: a pattern of Canada making allegations without evidence, the surveillance of Indian diplomats, which he termed unacceptable, and political space being given in Canada to anti-India elements. So you can draw your conclusions from that on why the Australia Today channel was blocked, unquote, the diplomat said. India-Canada ties strained after Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau blamed Indian agents for the murder of Khalistani terrorist Hardeep Singh Nijjar. The charge was thrashed by India as baseless. Last month, the relationship hit a new low with Canada terming the Indian High Commissioner as a person of interest in the killing. The move saw India withdrawing some top diplomats from the country while dismissing the charge as ludicrous. Last week, India flagged a violation of diplomatic conventions by the Canadian government for putting some of its consular officials under audio and video surveillance. Canada could not hide behind the technicality to justify its harassment, the government had said, while lodging a protest with the Canadian government. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.